Good morning. So lots of buzz here this morning. It's a beautiful spring day. Sun is shining. As we gather today to celebrate Palm Sunday, to worship together, and to praise our God. Would you join me in turning the back of your bulletins to the inside back page for the call to worship? The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge.
They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world.
The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul.
The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart.
They are more precious than gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb.
We light a light in the name of the God who creates life, the Savior who loves life, and the Spirit who is the fire of life. Let us pray. O God, author of eternal light, lead us in our worshiping this day. That our lips may praise you, our lives may bless you, and our meditations glorify you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We want to sing our Lenten song, which is in the back of your hymnals, the little insert, My Soul Cries Out. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2, and during this song, I'm going to ask that all the children head to the back of the church and get ready for our annual Palm Sunday processional. Let's stand to sing as well. Again, welcome here this morning. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced? I'm seeing mostly familiar faces. Good. I'm glad you all could be with us this morning. I want to pull out just a few of the announcements. Don't want to take up too much time. On the very back page of your bulletin at the bottom is a box with an announcement from Church Council about a meeting, a constitutional meeting coming up on April 11th. There is no time there, however. 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, that sounds fun. Good, so just read that. Make sure that if you have anything to submit to Chris, there's an email there, and it's in no later than the Wednesday before that day. I would like to just highlight number 7 as well. There's a choir practice this coming Wednesday at 6:30 for our Good Friday and Easter services. And then also, there was one that was given to me here about the youth. There is a upcoming Urban Plunge, Saturday, April 18th to Sunday, April 19th. The NK Youth, along with Springfield Heights and Altona Bergtaler, are doing an Urban Plunge. They will be visiting some organizations in the city, such as Siloam Mission and the North End Family Center. Then they'll have some kind of fun activity on the Saturday and then stay at Springfield Heights overnight. So pass that along to the youth that you know. That would be great. There's not too many of you here. You could pass along to your friends up in the balcony. That'd be great. That will be a lot of fun. So are there any other announcements? We'll do sharing a little bit later, but if there are any other church life announcements. All right. Then for the processional, we're going to sing. There's an insert in your bulletin. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Pave the way with branches. We did sing this last year at Palm Sunday, but of course that was a long time ago now. So I will ask Trudy to play it through once without the repeats. You'll notice each half repeats itself. But she'll play it through without the repeats just so we get the melody in our heads. And we'll have fun watching the kids come down. Hope they don't smack you in the face with their branches. It'll be fun. It's a fun way to celebrate the kids in our church, a fun way to celebrate the life of the church as well as a symbol of our devotion to our King and our God as he processes in with them, maybe. All right, play it through. Phil has a children's story for you, too, so you can just sit down where you are.
There we go. Don't swing your branches in the candles. All right, that was an awesome parade. So who has ever been to a, well, this was a real parade, but who's been to a real parade? And where was the parade? Astrid. In Morden, yeah, the Corn and Apple has a parade. Yeah, Caleb, you were at a parade. A winter parade, the Santa Claus parade, that's a good parade. And what? Oh, Aiden was at a parade, summer or fall. Both good times for a, there's lots of times to have a fun parade. So today, we're talking about Palm Sunday in church. And in Palm Sunday, there was a parade. And you all paraded in with your palm branches, but on Palm Sunday, it was Jesus who was walking, and everyone else was standing on the sides with the palm branches. So, a little different. But at the parade where you were at, were there any famous people at the parade? Or Santa Claus, at the Santa Claus parade, where does Santa go at the Santa Claus parade? What does he ride on? On a cart? Yeah, he has a sleigh, right? I guess he could be a cart. I don't know. I wasn't at the Santa Claus parade you were at. So usually Santa Claus comes in and he has a big sleigh and reindeer. And if there was a famous person who came to Winnipeg and we had a parade for them, what do you think they would ride on if there was a famous person in a parade? Jalen, a limousine, that would be a good thing to ride on. Dylan, did you have something else? A limousine? The limousine is good, or in Morden they often drive on convertibles, or sometimes big tractors. And Caleb? A horse, yeah. That would be a good thing to ride on. A reindeer, yeah. So usually when we have a parade and there's someone famous in the parade, or Santa Claus, they're really special and they go on a fancy car or in a fancy float or something like that. But on Palm Sunday, who knows what Jesus rode on in the parade when he came in? All right, Gene, a donkey. And he didn't even ride on an old donkey. It says he rode on a colt, which is like a teenager donkey. So he said to his disciples, he knew he was going to have a parade and come into Jerusalem, and he said, I want you over in this town or this street. There is a donkey, a young donkey, and I want you to go and get it and bring it to me. And if anybody asks, just say, we're getting this donkey for Jesus. And I'm going to ride that donkey. And so that's like, who here has a bike? Lots of you have bikes. Everybody has a bike or a trike or something to ride on. Jacob, you have a bike. Yeah. So it's like if Jesus came to Winnipeg and he said, you know what? On that street, on Pinecrest Street, Jalen has a bicycle and it's just sitting there. I want you to go and get it, and I'm going to ride on that bicycle. And if anyone asks, just say Jesus needs this bicycle to ride in his parade. And then they went and got the donkey, and people did ask, why are you getting this donkey? And people did, and they would ask, Jalen would ask, why are you taking my bike? And they said, oh, Jesus needs this to ride. And so he rode on the donkey through the street, and everyone waved the branches, and they were happy to see him. And he didn't ride in like a regular king on a limousine or on a fancy Santa Claus sleigh or a fancy car. He came in on a horse. He rode on a donkey. That's not even as good as in those days they didn't have limousines. If he was a king then, they would expect him to ride on a horse, right? Or a chariot. But he came in on a donkey, and everyone was happy to see him and wave their branches and put their coats on. So, who here, if Jesus needed your help and needed to ride your bike, would you say, Jesus, you can ride my bike? Yeah. No, you wouldn't let Jesus ride your bike? You wouldn't? It's too little. Maybe you'd say, Jesus, can you take my dad's bike instead? That might be a good idea, because it might be too little. But he rode on a donkey. Or your mom's bike, that might be all right. So Jesus, he was a king, and they said, praise the king when he came in, but he wasn't like a regular king. Lucas, oh no. What is Jesus going to do? He'll have to find a different bike, yeah. Someone's going to have to fix your bike. Good. So Jesus came, and he was a king, but he wasn't like a regular king. He came to Jerusalem on a donkey, and we celebrate that he is a king, but not like a regular king. And we also remember that we even if we don't have fancy cars or fancy things to give to help Jesus, even kids can help, because sometimes Jesus doesn't need something fancy. Sometimes he just needs a donkey, or sometimes he just needs a kid with a small bike who can help for him. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you that we can celebrate you coming, and that you are a different kind of king, and pray that we can be there to help you with even our small things when you need our help. Amen. And now you can go back to your seats, because... Oh, lay your palm branches on the front to make a fancy display.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night
night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to see the brightness of God. I want to look at Jesus. Clear sun of righteousness, shine on my path and show me the way to the Father. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I want to be with Jesus. When we have run with patience the race, we shall know the joy of Jesus. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus.
I'm going to spend a little bit of time sharing about our lives with each other, sharing about some of our joys and sorrows. There are a few in the bulletin that have been shared with us, if you want to turn with me to that first page of announcements. We have our list, as usual, of people in personal care homes, and I would ask that you would maybe name a few of those in your prayers this week. We have a couple of condolences. One is in the bulletin. Condolences go out to Anna and Deet Claussen, along with Vic and Elfrieda Braun, and the extended family and friends on the passing of Anna's brother, Heinrich Duick, at the age of 61 in Paraguay. As well, we want to extend our prayers and sympathies to Annie Stein, Tina Schultz, and their families on the passing of their sister, Katie Wieb, who is 90 years old. She passed away last Sunday. Funeral services were held yesterday at the Claussen Funeral Home. We also have a number of people who are recovering, either in hospital or at home. Louise Lage and Mary Pankratz are at the top of the page. We also have Gary Hebert in the last week of his cancer treatments. Peter Sawatsky had fallen recently, and he's recovering. And then we have a joyful announcement at the very bottom. There's a new baby, Astrid and Matt, on the birth of their son, Elijah Jacob, who was born on the first day of spring, March 20th. Proud grandparents are Jacob and Susanna Giesbrecht. So there are a number of people that we are already thinking of. Does anyone here have something to share? Maybe, I don't know if Chris, can you go around with the mic if we need it? This one? I don't know if anybody's going to raise their hand, but please feel free if you have something you'd like to share with your church family this morning. All right. Well, hopefully you have shared it with someone. Let us now bring all of these things before God. Lord, you rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, proclaiming yourself as king, not as a warrior king, but as a humble king. Comes to us in a different way, but still requiring our loyalty, our love. And so today we come to you because you are our King, and we bring our joys, we bring our sorrows, we bring our struggles and our triumphs to you this morning. Today we think especially of the families of Heinrich Duick and Katie Wieb. We ask that you bring your comfort, that you wrap them in your arms, and that they would feel your peace. We also bring before you those who are still struggling, who are on the road to recovery, but sometimes it seems a little long. We think this morning of Gary, of Louise, of Peter, and of Mary. And we ask that you give them the strength to face each day. And God, we also rejoice with the Giesbrechts on the birth of the grandson, Elijah. And we pray that you would be with the parents, the grandparents, the aunts and uncles, as they raise this child, as they love this boy. You would give them also the strength they need for each day. There is more, perhaps, that we have brought to you in our hearts. We thank you that you have heard our prayers, the ones we have spoken, the ones we have just thought. Now, please be with us in the rest of our worship service. Please be with us in the rest of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'm going to ask Leanna to sing again for us as we take the offering this morning.
Slowly turning, ever turning, from our lovelessness like ice, from our unforgiving spirit, from the grip of envy's vice. Slowly turning, ever turning, toward the lavish life of spring, toward the word of warmth and pardon, toward the mercy welcoming. Slowly turning, ever turning, from our lovelessness and gaze, from our self-enclosing circles, from our narrow petty ways. Slowly turning, ever turning, toward the foreigner as friend, toward the city without ghetto, toward the greatness without end. Slowly turning, ever turning, from our fear of death and loss, from our terror of the darkness, from the scorning of the cross. Slowly turning, ever turning, toward the true and faithful one, toward the light of daybreak dawning, toward the Phoenix risen sun.
The scripture passage for this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. We have heard it paraphrased already this morning by Phil, but I will read it now from the NIV. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
There's a game that some Christians play. One person will quote part of a hymn, and then the others have to guess what song that line is from. For instance, I might say, "The children sang their praises, the loudest and the best." After thinking for a bit, you might know that it is from "Hosanna, loud Hosanna." a song that might be on many of our minds as we get closer to Easter time. A little harder than this game is when, instead of quoting lyrics, one person hums a bit of the melody, and everyone tries to guess what song it is. I'll spare you all that, though. This can be relatively easy if it's a well-known and familiar hymn. And then we can move on to the hardest version of the game. Suppose, instead of humming the melody, I were to only hum the bass part of the hymn, or just the alto, or just the tenor. Now things might not be quite so simple. But without the other parts of the melody, the hymn wouldn't sound the same without the bass, without the tenor. It wouldn't hold quite the same meaning that normally accompanies a song. And that's the problem with singing alone. Alone, we can only sing one note at a time. We need help if we want to harmonize. Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and our experience of God at all times is kind of like a song in four-part harmony. Let me explain. First, the scripture reading that we heard today, the story of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, is like a part of the greater melody, the melody of the story of Jesus. From that little excerpt, we might think we know what song is playing. We might think we know what was happening. But that little snatch of melody alone isn't enough for us to know for sure what we're hearing. For instance, the crowds that were there that day heard the melody that was Jesus, and though they thought they knew what they were hearing, they weren't quite right. They heard the song of the Messiah, and they were right. They were hearing the song of the Messiah. And though they had the right melody, they had chosen the wrong words to sing with it. They were supposed to be singing the song of a peaceful Messiah, one that would conquer with peace. However, they were singing the song of the conquering Messiah, of one that would overthrow the Romans and establish a kingdom for the Jews once again. Over the course of the week, of course, they learned that the song that they were hearing wasn't what they had thought they were hearing, what they wanted to hear. They had hoped for a conquering Messiah, and by Good Friday, it had become clear that he had no intention of throwing the Romans, and so the crowds turned on him. Much like the people of Jesus' day, we too interpret Jesus to say what we want him to say, to mean what we want him to mean. It's all too easy to take bits of the gospel out of context and find our own meaning, separate from the greater meaning that is the gospel. If Jesus judges an action that we are prone to, we do our best to find a reason why he didn't really mean that. He must have meant something else. For instance, Jesus' command to love our enemies. Now that's a radical call to action, a call to do good for our enemies. But it's also a commandment that's easy to water down. Well, I leave my enemies alone, and I don't do anything to actively harm them, so that's pretty much the same thing as loving them, right? Easy to take out of context, easy to change the meaning. When taking a loan, it's easy to mishear, easy to misinterpret what Jesus is saying. So how do we make sure that we are hearing what we think that we're hearing when we listen to the song that is God's love? First, we have to not only look at the melody that is the New Testament, but we also have to look at the Old Testament. What does the Old Testament have to say about the nature of God? And what do the prophets have to say about who Jesus is and what he came to do? This undercurrent is like the bass line. It's a deep underscoring of what's going on in the melody of Jesus. The message of the New Testament is built on the foundation of the Old Testament. It's a continuation of God's love for his creation, not something new and separate. Jesus' coming is foretold in the Old Testament. The most obvious example of this for Palm Sunday is from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This passage is what Matthew quotes when he's giving his account of the triumphal entry, offering some insight to what the Old Testament has to say. That's what it meant to ride into the city on a donkey. It meant that he was coming as a king, but not as one who is boastful in their warlike ways, but rather as a king who boasts in peace. Perhaps if people were more acquainted with the base notes of the Old Testament, they would have seen what Jesus meant by riding into the city this way. The next verse from Zechariah makes this quite clear. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, and from river to the ends of the earth. Throughout the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, there are many times when what he does is foreshadowed and explained in the Old Testament. This is what we mean when we say that something happens according to the Scriptures, when Jesus died and rose again according to the Scriptures. We don't mean the way one might say, according to Chris, the smorg was great, but according to Gary, it could have been better. What we mean, rather, is it happened in accord with the Old Testament. That's not that it happened in the opinion of Scripture, rather, it happened in agreement and togetherness with the Old Testament, much as two parts of a song come together to make a harmony. If you want to know the deeper meaning of why Christ died for us, you need to listen to the Old and the New Testaments in harmony. You need to hear the deep tune that is God's love for his suffering creation, God's longing to bring us back into wholeness. Through the Old Testament, you see that humanity was created in wholeness, in relationship with God. Then, when humanity rebelled against God, he set aside a nation. He set aside the 12 tribes of Israel to bring us back to him. When we rebelled, despite that, God sent the prophets to once again try to bring the people back to him. And despite that, we continued to rebel, and God promised that he would come down himself and bring us back to him in person. Without this deep baseline of unfailing love from the very beginning that we get in the Old Testament, the story of Christ coming to save us doesn't have quite the same meaning. The Old Testament is a deep undercurrent of unfailing love that underlines the coming of Jesus to save us from our sins. But this is not just a two-part harmony. There are many other parts that make up the complex harmony that is God's love and how we respond to it. There are, however, two more parts that I would like to highlight today. Let's call the next part the tenor. This part is how we, as a society, fit into the story of the cross. It can be easy, as we enter Holy Week, to use it as a sort of escape from our own lives. We focus on the suffering that Jesus faced, rather than the suffering of our own world. And we focus on the joy of his resurrection those 2,000 years ago, rather than the joy of Jesus being with us now. It can be easy to see all this as something that happened to people a long time ago. And while it may have things to teach us about life, it seems like we're not directly involved with the cross. But that thinking is wrong. Jesus did not go to the cross just for those who were alive back then, with us only getting to experience the ripple effect that went out from that. Jesus died for our world. Yes, he died for the Jewish world suffering under Roman occupation 2,000 years ago. But he also died for the world suffering the fall of Rome in the 5th century, or in the shrinking Western world as the Muslim world took over lots of what had been theirs in the 7th century. He was there in the 11th century when the church split for the first time in a major way, the world of the great East-West Schism. Jesus died for the world of the 20th century, the world ravaged by world wars. And he died for us now, in the 21st century, a century so far marred by the horrors of terrorism and the attempt to root that terrorism out. The present sins of the world are a part of what Jesus died for, to free us from those sins. In that way, we are there. We are present on Palm Sunday. We are waving the branches. And we are also there on Good Friday, when Jesus took our sins to the cross with him. And we are also there on Easter Sunday, when he rose again. That is how deeply entwined we are into the song of God's salvation, the song that is Holy Week. And now this leaves us with part four of our four-part harmony, the alto part. The alto part, in this metaphor, is the part that each of us as individuals play. In this song, it might seem that the alto part doesn't have much of a role to play. How can it stack up with other parts of the song? How can it possibly be good enough to harmonize with the melody that is the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? How can it compete with the bass line that is the Old Testament, that undergirds everything, holds it together, and adds richness to the melody? And how can it compete with the cares and the pains of the whole world? But we must not underestimate the importance of each individual. Each of us have very important roles to play within the love of God. And Jesus has invited each and every one of us as individuals, not just as a group, not just as a congregation, invited us to follow him through this Holy Week process. He has invited us to put our trust in him. So as we listen this week to the melody that is Jesus, the story of his triumphal entry, the story of his suffering, his death, and resurrection, listen also to the bass notes of the Old Testament. Let them guide our thoughts on the new. And also listen to the tenor that is the world today. Let us find the place for that in this great harmony. And let us learn to sing our own parts in God's song and create a beautiful harmony with him. Let us sing the part that only we can see. Sorry, that only we can sing. And as we sing this song, sing our part of God's love. Let us find ourselves surrounded, enfolded, welcomed, challenged, healed, and transformed by the love that we can find nowhere else. The love of Jesus himself. The love of God embodied.
Thank you for those challenges, Chris. As we sing from the Brown Hymnal, number 119, 119, O how shall I receive thee? Let's think about our alto harmony and what it sounds like. I'm going to...
Thank you.
the kids join us again here. We're going to read a benediction from the back of the blue hymnal, number 763. 763 in the back of the blue hymnal. And then we have another song in the bulletin in the insert, Halle, Halle, Hallelujah, which I'm hoping most of us know. And we're going to sing that after the benediction. I will ask you to stand and follow along with me. 763. We came to worship.
We go down to serve.
We have been given the light.
We go down to let it shine.
We have been blessed by God's love.
We go down to
share it. We are Christ's disciples.
We go down to witness
to all. Amen. Let's go out to a joyful song, Hallelujah, Halle, Halle, Halle.
Thank you.